and welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast where we take the sometimes difficult task of writing and try to make it a little bit easier. I am Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long. Hey, Mary.
I have to start off by doing this. We're just going to get this out of the way, and then we can move on with our lives. Are you ready? Here we go. Goal! Okay, good. That's done. I had to do it. It's out. Okay. Carry on. I had to. Sorry. Out of my system now. Yes.
Good. Okay. So you won't do that like 10 minutes in.
I promise I will not do it again because it was so easy. It was right there. I'm probably going to edit it out. No, I won't.
No, that's too much work.
Too much work.
So if you couldn't guess, we're going to talk about goals. Talking about goals today because we're rolling into June and it's halfway through the year. It's a good time to step back. This is one of those episodes where we talk about the sort of problems that we are dealing with on a regular basis. And one of my challenges this past month has been reassessing my goals and shifting my goal mid-year. And what does that mean? So like emotionally, like how do you deal with that? How do you make the decision? And I'm just going to share my story and what I did. And yeah, maybe it'll help some of you guys. But first, we should do the quote of the week.
Do the quote. You should do it. You say it. You do it.
I can, but I'm going to be talking a ton.
Okay, then I'll do it. Fine. We don't want people to get, you know, too much is just, they can't handle it. They can't handle that much.
Right.
Awesome. This is from E.L. Doctorow, whose son, Corey, I was on a panel with at a con once. And it was awesome. We were talking about Disney World. It was, anyway. E.L. Doctorow. His thing is, writing a novel is like driving a car at night. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. I'm thinking our old E.L. might have been a pantser.
Probably. That's what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah. Although, honestly, it's not a bad metaphor for life either.
No. I mean, I could see it being connected to the theme of goals, right? Because, like, you can
absolutely
make these goals
absolutely
for a year or 5 years, but, you know, who can see that far ahead?
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good one. I always picture the horror movie, like, driving in this dark, windy road where, like, you're like, am I going to die?
And then all of a sudden, wah! Yeah, jump scare. I think that sums up writing pretty well. You're like, ticky, 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 yeah! What's this?
All right. So why don't I tell you a little bit about my problem and what I did as a result?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, and I mentioned a couple of times, right, that there is a fellowship season here in LA, right? The big four studios all have these like diversity and inclusive fellowship programs where they get about 2,000 applications every year for anywhere from like 4 to 8 slots of writers.
Wow.
Who can learn from their showrunners and sometimes get staffed or get paired with a showrunner. And they have all these different, it's a year-long training program. They're incredibly competitive.
And huge.
And every year I make a goal to submit, like many other writers, to these fellowship mm-hmm. programs because it's a great entry point.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
It's really great. I mean, you get so much access. And even if you're just a finalist, a lot of the industry professionals know that you're a finalist. So it's helpful to get agents and managers. So it is a really great strategy. And I have had this goal for 3 years. The first year I did not hit it. And I was devastated because I just felt like, oh, I should have been more prepared. I knew when the deadline was. Now I have to wait a whole year.
Yeah, what do you have to do? What do you submit?
So you submit an original pilot, which is very hard to do, right? Because you have to create your whole show. And it has to be good. And pilots are notoriously hard to write. And then you usually have to do a personal essay and a spec script. So that's a sample script of an existing show that is on air. And so you often have to redo those year to year because if the show is canceled, that script can no longer be used. And that takes a lot of work, too, to be able to know the story enough to write an entire episode on your own. It's very time consuming. So you usually have to do those two things and then a personal essay around why you deserve to be in their program.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work.
It takes quite some time, like months of work.
Yes.
Okay, so the first time you just didn't, it didn't happen, didn't come together.
It didn't happen. I knew about the deadline. I was moving forward, and life happened, like things at my job happened, and I couldn't hit the deadline, and I was just crushed because I felt like I had failed. And that was the first year where I said, I want to do this TV thing and shift from writing novels. So I had put my novels on hold. And then it was like, oh, I don't even have anything to account for, because that was the only thing that could be like, hey, she's really trying to be this TV writer.
All for nothing.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Yeah. No, I could see how you could tell yourself that story. Yeah.
Which was wrong. And I had a lot of great friends and family who pointed out that that was wrong. And I did have a completed draft of a script. And they're like, it makes sense. You made a lot of progress. But I struggled.
No effort is wasted.
Yeah. So the second year, I was really pumped. And I was like, I am not missing this deadline. I don't care what happens. And then life happened again. And I made the decision to move to LA. I changed jobs, and my mother was diagnosed with cancer. She had breast cancer.
Oh, shit.
And so I went and moved in with my parents to be with her for about 7 months. She's fine. She's in recovery. But I was still like, I am not missing this deadline. I'm not going to go through that like emotional turmoil and guilt again. I had to prove to myself.
And also something you could control.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very much something that I could control. And it was the only escape that I had from like all these other things that I couldn't control. So it was like, it was my release of having that one thing to fixate on. And I hit the goal. I did it. I submitted to all of the programs. Very excited. Was not impressed with the quality of my submissions, but I did it. And so I felt like that was a victory. And then this year I did not, I decided not to submit. The deadline was yesterday. Okay. So I'm still emotionally like coming to grips with this decision that I made of not to submit about 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And this is what I wanted to share with the audience. And I'd love your thoughts on it too, because even though at the beginning of the year, or even before the beginning of the year, I said, no, this is part of my plan. This is the next step. I need to continue to submit to these. Mm-hmm. I realized that I was doing it out of ego and pride and not doing it because I believed that it was going to be a winning script that was going to get me to the finalist round or get me into a program. And I also realized, even if I got into the program, I could not feasibly participate in the program this year because I just started a new job. And like, I don't have the financial savings since I just moved to be able to change jobs and take a pay cut. Yeah. There were like all these things where I'm like, this is not the right time for this program, even if I were to have the perfect script and get in. So I made this like really, I had to make this really hard choice of like, do I do it anyway? Even though I'm run down and sick and tired and like dealing with a new job, or do I not? And then feel like, oh, I'm slacking or like missing this goal that I had set for myself.
I can see how that's really difficult because your brain starts playing games with you. You know, you get these stories that you tell yourself of, oh God, well, this clearly is some indication of my worthiness, or because this thing didn't happen, this means other things in the future won't happen. And we've got this narrative in the world of, you know, write yourself to death. And that's the only way, you'll work yourself to death. And that's the only way to be successful in life is just to go, go, go. And that's just not the truth. So I could totally see how that would be really difficult to do. But ultimately, you're the only one who can make that decision. And you did. And that's, I think that's great. You had a lot of courage to take yourself into account. Take accountability for it.
Yeah. The weird thing is that like I made the decision. I told a couple of my family members who were like, oh, are you sure that's what you want to do? Because they know like how excited I am about writing and how much hard work I had already put in to the required materials this year. But I got to the point where I didn't want to tell my writer's group. I didn't want to tell other people that I had decided not to submit because I was like, oh, they're just not going to understand or they're going to pressure me and I'm going to feel like, then it became back. It came back to that ego thing and the pride thing. It's like, I didn't want them to think that I wasn't serious by not doing it. Like, what do I have to prove?
Which is that's right. And that is ego. That, you know, you talk to the people who know you and love you and they're going to, you don't need to impress them. They know who you are and they love you. So yeah, they're going to give you the best feedback. I think you did the right thing for all it matters, but it doesn't because it's your life and you do what you want to do.
Well, but I'm curious, have you had to like reassess any of your goals this year in the past?
Never. Never. Like, no, I make a goal and I do exactly that always.
I love it.
Yes. What's that smoke? Humble. Oh, my pants are on fire. Oh my God, all the time. And every time I do, I get that, you know how I was able to say, oh, I bet these stories were going through your head because they've gone through my head. I love making plans. I love making ambitious plans. I love telling myself that I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to do it. And, you know, then I come to actually the point, you know, what is that? No battle plan survives contact with the enemy. Uh-huh. It was like, okay, it's time to actually execute this. And I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? I can't, this is not. So I tend to swing the other way now. I just is like, you know what? I'm just going as I'm going. Here I go. What am I like? I look a week at a time. Like, what am I doing this week? Great. You know, I have in my head, I know what kind of things I want to do. But and I probably should go further. I should have plans for at least like the year. But the year always kind of falls away. I have to break it down to the week. I have to because I just a year plan. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's a fairy tale. It's fantasy. Ironically. Mm-hmm. But if I have this week, I need and it. Oh, it has to change all the time, too. So I say I'm going to send 3 queries a week. Well, that works for a little while and then it fades away. It loses its power. I just have to, you know, I have to trick my brain a little bit. I have ADHD. And so it gets bored with things and gets it's very difficult to deal with complex, large tasks. This can be very intimidating because the ADHD brain wants to do it all at once.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's do them all. And you can't. Your head explodes. So, yeah, I struggle with that, but I have to break them down week by week. You know, it is like the headlights, right? I have to kind of – I know where I want to go, but I have to adjust every week. I can't say, oh, I'm going to write X many words. I can only do that for a short period of time. And I can't, I lose focus on it. I forget that that's what I was doing. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot I was doing that thing. Like even just not writing. I joined Weight Watchers and then literally forgot that I had. Like I did it for a couple weeks. And then like, I don't know, we went away for the weekend or something like that and reset. And I get back, you know, and then like a week later, I was like, oh, that's right. So yeah, that's just what we're dealing with.
I was doing something.
This was really important. Oh, never mind. So, well, yeah, I have to do small tasks. So big things. I do big things, but I have to do them in drips.
Yeah, which I think is important. I've moved from I used to do 3-year plans. Then they became 1-year plans. And now even 1 year is really hard to manage because I just feel like in this fast-paced, like, society that we are living in with, like, instant info all the time, you're always like, you have to be flexible, you have to be nimble, you have to be able to adjust very quickly or you are going to waste a ton of time and energy and money and like emotional energy, all of that stuff.
I think a vision is important, what you're trying to accomplish. Like our good friend Meg LaFauve, who we've mentioned now 3 times because she's brilliant. She says like a beacon. She sets up a beacon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe she doesn't. Maybe she did map it all out. I don't know. But she had a beacon. Here's what I'm working toward. This is the idea. You need that. But and for some people, they can do this. And some people, they need to do this. They need to say on Tuesday, I do this. On Wednesday, I do this. In March, I do this. In July, I do this. And that works for them, which is fantastic. I am to the age that I know that that doesn't work for me. But I have been extremely successful in a lot of things. I've managed to get this far and I'm pretty darn happy. So you have to know yourself. You cannot not be you. It just doesn't work.
That's very true.
But I do need to do better with thinking long term.
Well, I think Neil Gaiman says something similar, or like he, I think in one of his essays, had talked about thinking about his career as like a benchmark to a mountain, like a journey to a mountain. He knew that he was trying mm-hmm. to get to the top of the mountain. That was his goal. And every time a new job or assignment or freelance gig came up, he would ask himself, like, am I moving closer? Like, is this path taking me closer to that big picture, or is it pulling me further away? And for me, like, the fellowships, even though it seems like, oh, that's getting me closer, it kind of is, but it, like, the fellowship in and of itself wasn't the end goal for this year. My end goal for this year was to have a manager. That was it. Mm-hmm. To have a manager. And that was one strategy for getting a manager. So when I stopped to think about that and realized, like, oh, that's not the end game. It is a step that I thought made sense at the time and no longer makes sense. It made it easier for me to shift course. So I do think you need that vision of, like, what is the big thing that you're really fighting for? And then it's like, yeah, you know, you lose a couple battles. That's okay. It's not about the battle.
Yeah. You need to be flexible. You need to be flexible because there's no right. There's no one way. There's no one path.
So
no
true.
No two writers got to where they are the same way.
Yeah. If you wanted a straight path, you should go into medicine. There's a straight
not even,
path.
Not even medicine. medicine. Yeah. To become a doctor.
To become a doctor.
But like,
there's a very straight
once you are
path.
A doctor, you're dealing with a human body, which is so complicated and random. You have to be pretty flexible there too.
I won't get into my rant on doctors, but
building something. You got to build something. That has to be pretty set.
True.
How about that? I don't know. Lawyer? Law? Law. Maybe a lawyer. There. but what kind of lawyer? Never mind. Just to finish up then, before we wrap up, maybe we could talk about what some warning signs are to tell the difference between choosing to not follow through. You know, you're adjusting your goals and being completely flighty and saying, la, la, you know, and not doing anything.
Yes.
What are some of the, how can we tell that we're, you know, that we're making a mature decision, or are we just faffing about?
Right. I think the most important thing that I've had to learn is distinguishing when the decision is rooted in fear. Like if it's fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of judgment, then like that's not a good enough reason for me to say, oh, I don't want to do this thing. And it's very easy to like psych yourself up and be like, oh, like I'm nervous about X, so I don't want to put it out there.
And it's interesting that you were making the decision to do it out of fear and the decision to not doing it out of courage, which is kind of backwards of what you might expect.
Yeah.
My theory is that 90% of the things humans do that are bad comes out of fear. Maybe 100%. Now, there's tired. Tired and cranky happens sometimes too. But most of the time, someone's doing something bad. At the very, very root is fear.
Yeah.
That's my theory with all my psychology degrees that I have. And I think the other thing that you did that was smart was to consult with people you trusted. I've heard this happen a lot of places where you'll have that people say, oh, I have my board of directors. I have a couple people who you consult with for these decisions. You talk to them. You trust them. They're wise. They know you well. And to bring things like this to them and say, what do you guys think? And you did that. You talked to your family who, again, they trust you. They love you. The whole fear ego thing is just not in play. And you were able to get some good feedback on your decision and help you make it. So I think that's another good test is if people you have to trust them, they have to love you. You have to know that they've got your best interest at heart, which, you know, sometimes that's not something you find in the industry. Sometimes it is, but sometimes not.
Yep. I mean, and there are definitely like a handful of writers where I feel like they wouldn't judge me, right? You know, so like when you get, you just build up your tribe and you have those core people that you know can be honest with you and can call you out on your BS and be like, no, you're actually just trying to avoid this goal that I know you want.
So I guess if you know you're not acting out of fear and your trusted loved ones are behind you, go. Or in your case, don't go. Do something else. And that's a difficult decision. And I applaud you, but quietly so it doesn't mess up the recording.
Golf clap. I will say, yes. too, like, if it requires you to do something illegal or, like, lose your home.
Yeah, don't do that.
Or something extreme, like, betray somebody that you care deeply about. This is the writer coming into me. Like, I can think of all these scenarios as to why you should.
I know, right?
Not pursue that goal. Like, if it becomes your obsession.
Yeah.
Over your loved ones.
Yeah, one of your trusted loved ones should maybe, yeah, be like a law enforcement or something. I don't know. Yeah, don't. We are not condoning. All right, well, I think we should probably wrap up. I think, first of all, I just wanted to thank you guys for listening. And if you have a moment, if it's not too much trouble to swing by iTunes, give us a quick rate review. It makes a huge difference for us. We are extremely grateful. But otherwise, you know, check us out on socials, Writing Easy podcast on all sorts of stuff, because we could put other things on there. We kind of go a little deeper into some of these or some find other resources that are tangential. So it's meant to supplement the podcast as well. All right. Well, on that note, you know what, guys? Writing is hard. Oh, no. I lost Melissa. She's gone.